The U.S. Senate is waiting for certification of election results for its two newest members. This week's victories in Georgia for Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff mean a shift of power for a body that has in recent years become a more polarized version of its temperate self. This is going to mean changes for Michigan's senior senator. Democrat Debbie Stabenow joins us by phone today from Washington, D.C. Senator, welcome back to Stateside.
Good to be with you, April.
What an extraordinary week this has been. How are you and your staff doing?
No, we're fine. It was frightening this week, and at the same time, really heartbreaking. I came into the Senate in 2001 and lived through 9/11, being in Washington during the attacks and so on, and which was the only other time I really felt threatened in terms of, physically threatened in D.C. But it was very different because those were foreign terrorists. And so at the time, we were all frightened, but angry and focused on, standing up for our country and so on. This is very different feeling because we're talking about Americans who were part of a mob that were literally doing their best to take over the Capitol in the name of what they said was their revolution, their Independence Day, and they were incited by this, and this insurrection came because of the President of the United States. So very different.
Senator, you told NPR today that President Trump should be removed from office before Inauguration Day. I'm wondering what you're hearing from your colleagues. Do you think the Senate could be ready to remove him if there is a House impeachment vote next week or if the cabinet invokes the 25th Amendment before that point?
Well, the reason I believe that he should be removed is because I don't believe there's any limit on what he would do to respond to his own emotions, his own sense of grievance or wanting to demonstrate his own power. And so I think he's a danger. And the 25th Amendment would be the way this should happen. I mean, it's interesting. We see members of the cabinet leaving. You mentioned Betsy DeVos as Secretary of Education. It would be better if she stayed and worked with the Vice President to pass a letter if the majority of the cabinet joined with the Vice President in a letter indicating they believe the President is no longer fit, then the Vice President would take over and be involved in peaceful transfer of power. And that is just a much more responsible and frankly safer thing for Americans right now.
But do you think the votes are there in the Senate if it came to a removal from office?
Well, the 25th Amendment doesn't require a vote in the Senate, which is why that would be the best, because that's simply a majority of the cabinet and the Vice President putting together a letter that they send to the Speaker and President pro tem in the Senate. When it comes to impeachment, I certainly think the vote will be there in the House and possibly bipartisan votes. It is much more difficult in the Senate. So it's difficult to say what would happen there. I think the challenge for us, and we know there's a limited amount of time right now, but the question is accountability. I mean, but we have a president who incited mobs and riots, and we had a Capitol police officer who lost his life. We had four other people who lost their lives. This is, against the law. This is a criminal behavior. And so there has to be some way to express that and also let the world know that this is not who we are as Americans and that we in America are not going to tolerate those who are trying to basically overturn our government, which is what they were trying to do, and people lost their lives in the process.
Let's move on to the business of the next administration. Have you seen any signs that Joe Biden will have any cabinet nominees confirmed by the time he takes office? Traditionally, the Senate moves on cabinet nominations relatively quickly, but things being things right now, would the new Senate majority take effect in time to vote on those, or is this in the hands of Majority Leader McConnell?
Well, this is what we're trying right now to work through. I believe that Georgia races are actually certified, I believe, on the 15th. And so then the question becomes, you know, the transferring the majority position from Senator McConnell to Senator Schumer and so on. And so right now we're reaching across with colleagues across the aisle to try to get some hearings going, whether that's next week or the day before the swearing in on the 20th. It's so important that key positions be filled. I remember that under President Trump, the day of the inaugural, we came in the morning and voted on the Secretary of Defense because it was critical that we have a Secretary of Defense. And so I would hope we would get the same courtesy in working with this new administration and all of us. We need a Treasury Secretary. We need our national security people. We need to move as quickly as possible on all of our appointments. And certainly given what we are seeing now about the homegrown violence, we need our Secretary of Homeland Security.
In 2021, you will be in line to chair the Senate Agriculture Committee. And you have said that one top priority you have is working on a carbon market, that is, creating a voluntary climate exchange. I want to ask you about another priority area that the committee has jurisdiction over, and that's food stamps. What can the committee do to help the families that are in extreme need of food aid this year?
Well, that is also one of my top priorities. Basically, my top two priorities relate to food security for people, for children, for families, for seniors, and working with our growers to help them get the front of the line to tackle the carbon crisis through a voluntary carbon exchange, so which I think is very exciting. We've already begun. I negotiated the successful effort to increase what we call SNAP. That used to be called food stamps. It's now Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP. And I was able to get an increase in SNAP benefits through the end of June. And most of the things that we passed in the COVID package, there was only agreement to go through mid-March, but I was successful in getting this through the end of June. We certainly need that to go longer as well, but that was a good first step because for a year I could not get bipartisan support to do this. So we finally were able to do that. So we need both to be extending the availability for people of food. And by the way, one of the best economic stimulus is to provide a dollar in SNAP benefits because someone has to go to the grocery store. And the economists tell us that it turns a dollar 70 over in the economy. So the grocery store, the processor, the truckers, the farmers, you know, when people have money to buy food, it's a winner for everybody. So I'm going to continue to focus on that as well as incentives for fresh fruits and vegetables. I started in the back in 2014 in the five-year farm bill that I wrote, a pilot project based on Michigan called Double Up Bucks. If you went to the if you went to a farmer's market and so on, you could get double the value of your SNAP benefits if you were buying fresh fruits and vegetables. And then we've now expanded that in the 2018 bill, and it's now being used in a lot of grocery stores as well. So there's a lot of different pieces of this, and the food supply chain. We've, you know, during COVID, we've all seen the pictures where our dairy farmers who are selling to restaurants or big commercial operations were in a spot when those operations closed down where they were actually dumping milk. And we were all horrified because our food banks and our families need that, but they didn't have the way to change their supply chain to take it from big bulk, you know, containers down to a gallon jug of milk. So in the COVID bill, I also, for the first time, was able to get dollars to help our farmers be able to retool so that we can address, you know, the needs of hungry families and not have crafts being filed under a melting dump.
Senator, we have less than a minute left. Just one more question. Given your expertise on food stamps, what is your sense of how far the $600 COVID relief payments that Congress passed will go? Do you foresee the Senate taking another look at larger payments in 2021?
Well, I think it's absolutely important that we have another survival package. When people talk about stimulus, this is actually survival. And I strongly support what our incoming president has pushed for, and colleagues actually passed in the House a $2,000 payment for people to help them be able to get through this crisis. So it's going to take a number of things, help with small business, additional direct checks, food help, rental assistance, unemployment assistance. It's going to take a number of things, and we have to stay also laser focused on what we are doing to get the vaccines out and to make sure that people are safe.
Senator Debbie Stabenow of Michigan. Senator, thank you so much.
Great to talk to you as usual.